Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
All right, there we go. We're continuing to make our way through the book of Acts in the Bible, and we've seen that the number of believers is continuing to grow. Many more people are believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ, who Jesus Christ is, and the church is growing. And how is it growing? It's growing because the church is God's people. And he promises that he himself will grow the church. You see, he is the one who will continue to draw people to himself to be saved by grace through faith. It's the gospel that has been preached. It's the gospel that reminds us that Jesus Christ, God himself, came into the world being fully human, fully God. He lived a perfect life, the life that Adam could not live, the life that we could never live, in perfect obedience, even to death on a cross. And for what? For us. For the church. For those who will place their faith in him as Lord and Savior, that whoever believes in him would not perish, would no longer be cursed under sin, but have eternal life. It hasn't been easy. The apostles have been beaten, bloody, bruised. Their lives are under constant threat from the Jewish rulers and the council. And yet they continue to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see in them that they have an understanding that just because they are now saved doesn't mean that they just sit in their salvation, but that there is a call that God gives to every single person who becomes a believer of Jesus. For every single person who has an interaction, a genuine relationship with Jesus, you realize, you understand, you take hold of a calling in your life to live in such a way that truly people would know, and that you in your heart truly know that you are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And so we see that their whole purpose has changed. They're now glorifying God, no longer trying to glorify themselves or to try to have power for themselves in this world or to gain for themselves, but simply what they want to do is take the message of Jesus to the ends of the earth, just as he has called them to do. But it's not just the 12 apostles, disciples. It's not just the disciples of the biblical times. We too, as his followers now, in this present day and age, we also have this same calling in our lives. You know, sometimes when we think about calling, we think about occupation. What am I going to do with my life? What's my career going to be? But there is a calling, no matter if you're a doctor or a teacher, a lawyer, an accountant, whatever you might be. The greatest calling that a believer of Jesus Christ has is the call to serve. And so we're going to talk about that together today. What does it mean to be called to serve? And we're going to look at Acts chapter 6, and we're going to look at the first 7 verses of this chapter together. And so let's go ahead and look at that. This is the word of God. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, who we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient in faith. Let's pray together before we dive in. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for your word. Thank you that we can gather in this place to hear your story of love and grace and forgiveness, of salvation, of victory. God, that we can hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached, your word that is living and active from Genesis to Revelation, you have given to us this amazing gift so that we can know more of who you are. And that as we know you more deeply, that we get to see even our own hearts, the things that we need to give up to you, the things that we need to repent of and turn to you with. Encourage us and challenge us here as we sit in these pews to reflect on our lives and to see what have we been living for, and have we been living in a way that is truly called to serve? For those of us who are believers of Jesus, may we be strengthened and encouraged through the word, but also, again, challenged to live for you with even more devotion, even more passion for your work to be done in this world. God, for those of us who are not yet believers who are here, God, we thank you that everyone is here, that you would make yourself known in a real way through your word, through this preaching, through the family of Christ that is here, that they would feel your love and your presence and hear your truth, and may their lives also be changed by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So what does it mean to be called to serve? Whether you thought about it this way or not, every single relationship that we have in a real sense requires someone to serve the other. Now let me explain. If my wife and I really want to go out to eat at a delicious sushi restaurant, but we know that our children would not go and eat anything if they went there, what can we do? Well, we can serve ourselves and say, well, no, guess what? Sorry, kids. It's mom and dad time. We're going to go eat sushi. You guys can just sit there and watch us eat this delicious meal, and we eat while the kids go hungry, right? That's us. We could serve ourselves and let the kids starve. Or we could make a decision to say, well, where's a good place that we could go for kids? You know, and it's kind of funny because, you know, Caleb, he thought that McDonald's, the name for McDonald's, was actually Happy Meal. Because we would say, well, do you want a Happy Meal? And then that's where we'd go. So he'd say, can we go to Happy Meal? And then I'd have to explain, well, the restaurant is McDonald's, but what we get there is a Happy Meal. So when we go to, let's say, McDonald's on a certain day, well, we're serving our kids. We're putting their needs, their wants ahead of even our own. Some other scenarios. Let's say you've just bought a bag of food or groceries, and someone comes to you on a sidewalk, and it's clear that they look famished and they haven't had much to eat. Maybe they're on trying times, and they just simply ask you if you had any food to spare. You can serve yourself by thinking, well, I went all the way to this grocery store and I bought all this food with my own money, so I'm going to take this and I'm going to go home and I'm going to eat. Or you could serve that man instead and offer him food from your bag. I don't know why all my examples of serving are with food, but maybe that's just kind of, I like to eat. Okay. But the true heart of serving can only come from a heart of true love. And a heart of true love can only come from one who has experienced the forgiving grace and salvation of Jesus Christ. Now let me reiterate that again. A heart of true love, true serving, can only come when one has been served by the God of the world, of the universe, through his Son, Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 10, verse 45 tells us this about Jesus: for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You see, the whole gospel message of Jesus Christ is about serving. Who will you serve? You see, if you're a believer, it compels us, it directs us to become servants of God and also servants of others. You see, Jesus served us. He washed the disciples' feet, didn't he? He went even to death on a cross so that we might be served, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. Jesus came to serve. And if you have a relationship with this Jesus, the one true God, then you too have a calling. You are called to serve. And so the passage that we just read, we're going to see how the apostles, the disciples, how they serve. And we're going to learn about some aspects that we too in our lives as current day disciples, as current day followers of Jesus Christ, that we too must take note of in our call to serve. So there's three things that we're going to look over together today. We're called to God's word. That's the first thing. We are called to discernment. That's the second thing. And the third is that we are called to preparation. So those are the three points that we're going to look at together today. So let's go ahead and look. If we are called to serve God and others, that we are also called to his word. Now let's look at verse 1 together. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. Now you've heard me preach it before and teach it before that context is so important when we're looking into different Bible passages and so we can understand what we're seeing in the Bible happening. So let me explain what the issue is, okay, that's going on, because it's not super clear just from reading that one verse. So first we need to start with, who are the Hellenists, okay? So the Hellenists here are Greek-speaking Jews who have become Christians. They have been dispersed outside of Jerusalem, but now they have come back into Jerusalem, made the journey back, and by God's grace, through the Acts of the Apostles, they are now believers of Jesus Christ and are part of the church. Now, there isn't a whole lot of detail, but there is this group, the Hellenists, who are complaining because they are saying that their widows are being neglected. So what? What do we need to see here? How is this a calling to God's word? You see, there's conflict that's arising within the church between brothers and sisters in Christ. There are some who are being supported and cared for and some who are not. You see, serving others through giving charity was a responsibility. It was a call by God. And as we remember, many of the disciples, almost all of them, they were just living in this community and giving of all that they had so that everyone could be filled for their needs, supported, and cared for. And yet here was this group, these widows, who were simply not being cared for. And again, this conflict arises within the early church. And at this point, again, what is it about God's word that I want us to look at? How is this a calling to God's word? Well, in the scriptures, we see God's heart for the widows and the orphans. Exodus chapter 22, verses 22 to 23. You shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. If you do mistreat them and they cry out to me, I will surely hear their cry. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 29. And the Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance with you, and the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow who are within your towns shall come and eat and be filled, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands that you do. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's case. And later on in the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3, honor widows who are truly widows. And so we see God's heart come through his word. We're called to God's word if we are believers of Jesus Christ. If we are going to serve other people, if we're going to serve God, we need to have an understanding of who he is. And this is God's heart that cares for those who are in need. This is God's heart for those who do not have a voice and can easily be the oppressed ones or the outcasts. And so this is a serious issue at hand. So the apostles, the 12, they gather the disciples together to address the issue. Why? They're wanting to serve God, but they're always seeking to serve him in line with the scriptures. So they know the scriptures. They know God's heart for the widows. And so this is what happens in verse 2. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, reading that, it could be a little bit kind of like, okay, well, I see his heart for the widows, but now the 12 are coming and saying that they have to devote themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word, so they shouldn't give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. So, like, is their heart misaligned, right? Like, there's, are they saying that their preaching is more important than serving the widows? By no means, okay? The apostles here are not elevating their service of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ above serving the widows or serving tables. You see, this was a very unique role given to them by God, appointed, chosen by God for them to do, to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. You see, preaching the word of God was their main call, and they're not saying that they are better for it, but that they are saying it is a unique role that God has given them in their call to serve. You see, so we are all called to serve God and to serve others, but how it might look in our lives may be different. And so they continue their faithful preaching, and many more people, as we saw in verse 7, came to faith in Jesus and were saved and became a part of the family of Jesus Christ. And so after instructing the disciples to choose people to serve these Hellenist widows in line with God's word, they reiterate their call, their unique call, to preach the gospel and devote themselves to the ministry of the word. So you see, the word is central still to both aspects of serving, right? To serve the widows. Why? Well, we see the heart of God on full display in his word, in the scripture. And so as we catch the heart of God, as we grow in our relationship with him, then we move, we minister, we do what he calls us to do. And we also see the unique calling for them to be preachers and teachers of the word of God. And again, it does not make them better. Different, unique roles, but all still serving the same God. And all still serving those who are in need. It's very important to think about, very important to understand and look at. See, the apostles, they don't judge the Hellenistic Jews, nor do they judge the Hebrew Jews. Instead, as they look at the word of God, they say, okay, what would God do? He wants us to care for them. So we're not going to shift blame. Hey, who hasn't been serving these Hellenist widows? Hey, why haven't they been getting what they're supposed to do? You are not on top of things. You are not on top of things. No, instead they say, let's gather together. We know our calling to the word. We want to have God's heart. He calls us to take care of these people. So let's do that together. And so you see, there's a solution that comes through God's word. See, I see people sometimes in the church acting like the world, and they look at worldly experience and management and strategies and solutions to solve conflict. And that's just not it. That's not what God calls us to do. We need to be in God's word, know his word, which opens up the whole realm of God's heart. It illuminates the heart of God into situations of conflict within the church, so that the best way that we handle problems, the best way we can serve truly others, is also to know our calling to his word. Amen. So let's be in his word. Amen. As a church, let's not get lost in the worldly ways. Let us always seek what God teaches us in his very word. Second thing we're going to look at, we're called to serve God. One aspect we have to think about is that we are called to discernment. Okay, now let me explain. Verse 3 to 4, it says, therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, what can we learn about discernment and its importance in the call to serve? Well, we see here that the disciples, the 12 apostles, they tasked the disciples with choosing and appointing 7 men who will be good and qualified for the task at hand, to serve these widows who are not being served well, who are not being cared for as the church has promised to and committed to and is called to care for them. Now, this is very important. It wasn't just, hey, who wants to serve? We have a need. Anyone? Anyone can serve. No, there is a concerted effort that says discernment is important in who is asked or who is called to serve. God wants to appoint qualified people to serve. And that's what we see here in this verse. It says, you pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom. This is really important. We see the heart of God We want to serve others, but there is an aspect of discernment in who is serving in different roles. And here I believe, as we look in verse 4, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word, and it talks about this kind of filling of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. You simply can't separate someone from their relationship with God. That's the first thing, serving the church. Do you have faith in Jesus? Do you serve God? Do you have a relationship with him? If you don't, how can you serve others with his love if you don't have his love in you? And so prayer is a big part of discernment. Prayer is a big part of the life of the believer. We've seen the emphasis on God's word, and I want to speak to the need for a devotion to prayer, a call to discernment that requires intimacy with Christ through his word and also in prayer. And so we see that in discerning, there's a couple of things that the apostles lay out. Again, we can see the requirements for ones who will serve in this particular ministry, who will serve in this particular need. And it says they must be full of spirit and of wisdom. Now, this is a spiritual qualification. The call to God's word, the Bible, is where one finds this type of wisdom. And prayer is the means of connecting with God to be filled with the Spirit. And so this is not a worldly qualification. It is not the merit of the person, but it's judging, qualifying. Does this person have a genuine relationship with Jesus? And is their life a marked example of one who's following and obeying Jesus Christ? What I truly believe is that it requires discernment. And so again, prayer is so important. We saw it happen early in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. It's as they are praying in the upper room that the Holy Spirit comes for the first time and fills them. We see it in Acts chapter 4, verse 31. It says, and when they had prayed, and it finishes, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So you see, the call to discernment requires that as believers, and especially as leaders in the church, we need to have prayer be an integral part of our lives. All of us must know God's word, must study it deeply so that we can have spiritual discernment. And it's obvious that in order for us to discern who are the ones full of spirit and wisdom, we too must be spiritual. We must have a relationship with God that opens our eyes to these types of things. So prayer must be a driving force in a solution, in pointing, in conflict that arises within the body of Christ, or even conflict in general. So I just want to make a quick note of that, right? Leadership roles in the church, whether it be deacons or elders or whoever it might be, they were called in various ways when we look at the Bible. And always they were actually appointed. And there was a call to discern in the process of the appointing. It was not worldly or business-minded, it was spiritual. So whether there's conflict in ways that we are looking to honor God as a church through serving, we must remember this call to discern. We must be in prayer and always have God's word in our hearts. So grow. Let's grow together as believers of Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you right now, what does your prayer life look like? Do you have daily times of prayer and devotion to God? Are you growing in your relationship with Jesus? Ask God in prayer to give you a heart that wants to serve. Ask God in prayer to connect you more as you read his word. And so that as you grow in your understanding of who he is, you can also be a part of the discerning of others and serving of others. The last thing we're going to look at together is that we are called to preparation. Called to preparation. Verse 5 to 6 says this, and what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. So within this church, this early church, there was a great need. The Greek-speaking Jewish Christians were not receiving care. The widows were not receiving the support that the church should have been giving to them, showing love on them as we saw in the scriptures and we see in the heart of God. So we see that the apostles have reminded the church of their call to discern, and with the spiritual qualifications given, we see seven names: Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas. And of those names, we probably know most about Stephen and Philip, and they're going to come up again later in this very book of Acts. But let's see how Stephen is described. Stephen is described as a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Now let me tell you why this is so important in this idea of being called to preparation. Did he all of a sudden, because there was this opening to serve, now all of a sudden did he become full of the Spirit? Now all of a sudden did he become a devoted person? By no means. You see, he understood that when he followed Jesus, there was a call to preparation, and that every day of his life, with his integrity, how he chooses to act, what he chooses to do, the decisions that he makes, how he treats his family, how he treats strangers, how he treats coworkers, him being in the Word of God, him being in prayer, all of these things were actually preparation for him when the opportunity to serve came along. You guys see that? You don't just all of a sudden become spiritually qualified because there's an opening for something. Every day we should be preparing our hearts. Every day we should be preparing for the opportunities in small and big ways. I'm not just talking about in church, but with our lives. Are we serving others? Are we preparing our hearts? Are we preparing ourselves as we grow in our relationship with Jesus, that when the opportunity comes, man, we are ready to serve. We're filled with the Spirit. We're full of faith. See, when you're a believer of Jesus, there's a call to preparation. Everyone who has been touched by the love and grace of Jesus Christ, we should be growing in our desire to serve God and to serve others. Now, if you're saying you're growing in your walk with the Lord, that you're a Christian, but all you can seem to do is figure out ways to serve yourself and your own agenda, and only a select few that you choose that are worthy of your love or your time or your respect, then I'd ask you to take a step back and see, are you truly serving God? Are you truly responsibly living with a call to serve? Do you realize that you've been called to preparation? That every day, every decision, all of it, all that you are, all that you're doing, as you grow in your walk with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, it's all preparation to serve Him and to serve others. Amen? Amen. That's what's different about the church. That's what should be different about us as believers. Because we're not trying to serve to get something back. We've already been given all through the servant, Jesus Christ. We read Mark 10:45 before this sermon began. He came and he was the King of the world, God of the world, and he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Are you preparing to do that? Are you prepared to do that? When you see someone in need, when you see opportunities to serve, that you are full of faith and that you are filled with the Spirit, and so you say, I would love to serve. Can we become more and more like that? Let's look for opportunities to serve God. Amen? Let's look for opportunities to serve God. Now, again, I don't want you to hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that you have to be some kind of perfect Christian in order to serve. Because guess what? If you had to be a perfect Christian in order to serve, I should not be standing up here preaching. Because I'm nowhere near it. But I know who my God is. I know who I'm called to serve. And so I can stand up here boldly, not in my own self, but because of the God who has called me. And yet, at the same time, I know the responsibility of the calling. And so how am I living my life? How am I living my life? Am I living my life in a way where I'm called to preparation? I'm preparing every day.
opportunity.
I'm in God's word. I'm in prayer. I'm growing in my relationship with Him. I'm not saying you have to be a perfect Christian to serve. I'm not. But there are qualifications in some areas. Are we preparing ourselves so that we're ready when the opportunity arises? That only comes through spiritual growth. You know, that's the hard thing sometimes about this church. Not our church, but just church in general. People can become so good because they're taught by the world how to polish the outside. How to look good enough on the outside. And it's almost like a fake it till you make it. Have you guys heard that before? You just pretend to be holy and righteous and maybe eventually become righteous. No! The only way that you can become righteous, the only way that you can be growing in your spirit is through your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's actually not thinking more of yourself, how you serve yourself, but the more you serve God is the more that you change inwardly in your own heart. See, it's different. We're not the world. We are the church. We are in the world, but we are not of the world any longer because we have Jesus Christ in our lives. So let's start living like that. We are called to serve. Every one of you right now in your lives, you are serving someone. Whether you think about it that way or not, like I said, every relationship requires serving. You are serving someone. And I'm going to tell you right now, the greatest hardship in this idea of serving others is realizing that means that serving yourself goes in the back burner. Man, we're good at serving ourselves, aren't we? We're so good at serving ourselves. When I want this, I get it. If I want that, I need this, I get it. I can get it for myself. If I need to do this, I need to do that. But the moment that starts becoming hard is when, well, I need to do this, but this person looks like they are in need of that. Well, who do I serve? And then you go deeper. Am I serving God, who I've called, who has called me to Himself, that has saved me by His grace? Am I serving Him, or am I serving myself? You see, the relationship with God, it requires you to serve someone. I pray every day that we will be serving our God who loves us, the God who has called us. We're called to serve. Let's serve God, let's serve our church, and let's serve the world that is in such need with the gospel of Jesus. Let's pray together. Just take one moment to pray and respond to the word of God. Just be honest. Who are you serving in your life? Who have you been serving in your life? You see, if you're a believer of Jesus, if you've been touched by His serving us, even to death on a cross, then now our whole lives, our whole direction has changed. We no longer are about serving ourselves, but we want to serve God, and we want to serve others as we see those in need. Will you take call that He's given to you to serve? That means you got to be in the Word. It means you have to know His Word, because in His Word you find His heart. It means you got to be discerning. That means you got to be spiritual, and the way that you stay connected with God and His Spirit is through prayer. So are you praying in your life? And lastly, are you preparing? Are you preparing to serve Him when the opportunity comes? It doesn't just all of a sudden come at once. Oh, I'm so spiritual now, or I'm so mature now. No, it takes every day calling to preparation. Choosing the Lord even when it's hard. Serving Him even when it's hard, even if it takes away from serving yourself. And the more that you choose to serve God, the more that you choose to serve others, I promise you the Holy Spirit working in your heart will be changing you from the inside out. And it doesn't necessarily become easier, but your desires, the very core of your purpose, you see it changing. Maybe so that it doesn't even feel like you're sacrificing anymore, but that you're just living out your faith. If you're a believer of Jesus Christ and you're here, maybe you feel like you have long forgotten the call that was placed in your life when you accepted Jesus. Maybe you've been coasting in life. Well, I know I'm a Christian. I know that I prayed and that I was forgiven. And God says, I want you to continue to prepare. I have plans for you to serve me in ways that you have no idea. But be preparing yourself in your relationship with Jesus. And I believe he wants to use every single one of us in some way to be a part of his kingdom work. Not everyone's going to be a preacher. Not everyone's going to be a missionary. But guess what? We are all his disciples. So maybe God wants you to be prepared because he's going to use you to be a blessing to someone else. He's going to use you to touch another heart. He's going to use you to take the gospel message to someone whose life is still in the darkness, who still doesn't know Jesus. And through the Holy Spirit working in you, they're going to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord. Believe that. And if you're not a believer of Jesus Christ, he's calling you right now. And he's saying, will you live for me? He's saying, will you see that the world is all about self-service? It's all about self-improvement and self-growth and gaining for self. And will you see the beauty of my serving you, that I came, the King of the world, not to be served, but to serve. And I gave my life for you. If you believe in me, if you repent and turn to me for the forgiveness of sins, that's yours. And you too can be a part of this calling to serve and live a joyful life of giving to God and giving to others. God's calling you right now. If you're not a believer of Jesus, every moment the word is preached, he's calling you. So will you receive the call? I pray that you will. Just take one more moment and I'll close this. Thank you so much that we have been called by your grace. What an amazing thing it is, an astounding thing it is that you would call us who are so imperfect, who still struggle in different ways. And yet still you call us, all of us who are believers, forgiven once and for all, made new, but you want for us to live out our calling to serve. So Lord, help us to remember the call to be in your word, the call to discernment as we grow together in our church families, and the call to preparation every day. May we be preparing for the opportunities that you will give to us to preach your word, to comfort others, to support others, to be there for them with your love and truth. We thank you for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. But those of us who are here present, those of